Chabura.
First of all,
is Baruch Hashem, everyone here is B'nai Torah, are B'nai Torah, is B'nai Torah, are hopefully going to be B'nai Torah, bigger B'nai Torah. And we just wanted to put a Chabur together to discuss and to give ourselves chizuk in different areas of Avodas Hashem. And therefore, like on a tape every once in a while you start speaking and then he says a joke and everybody laughs. They're going to think that the women in the background, you know, it's funny. So I want to speak about all the time and all the women are going to laugh. In any case, we wanted to speak about different inyanim to be mechazik ourselves and to maybe discuss things that hopefully will be able to help us in yeshiva. And first of all, the first thing is obviously Baruch Hashem. Any single time a person wants to make headway in Aliyah, so there's always that initial. We have something on our side. The reason why this Chabur was chosen is because Baruch Hashem, everyone here is B'nai Aliyah, and a strong Ritzonus to Steig and to become Talmidei Chachamim and to become bigger B'nai Torah. And when it says Ein Davar Omed B'nai Ratzon, nothing stands in the way of a Ratzon. Ratz is from Lashon of Ratz. Ratzon is from Lashon of Ratz. To run, that's where the Lashon of Ratzon comes from. Will is you rut to, it's something you run to, something you're working really hard to. That's will, the Ein Davar Omed B'nai Ratzon. Where you're inside yourself, there's nothing stands in the way. There's a famous Gemara about Rabbi Yechon and Reish Lakish. And Reish Lakish, everyone knows, was not always Reish Lakish. There is actually there's a funny Gemara in Gittin about Reish Lakish where Taisa says this is obviously speaking about Reish Lakish before he was Chayz of a Tshuva, because otherwise he wouldn't act in such a way. So we actually have Gemaras that sort of like, you know, speak about Reish Lakish before he was the Reish Lakish that we always quote in the arguments of Rabbi Yechon and other Amram. But the story that's worked out of the Gemara is where Reish Lakish actually jumps over this riverbank or some sort. He jumps over this stream of water in one leap, which was apparently a very not normal human feat. And Rabbi Yochanan sees this and is absolutely amazed by his ability to do such an athletic feat. And he strikes up a conversation with him, and Rabbi Yochanan was a very good-looking person, and Rabbi Yochanan did all he can to try to convince Reish Lakish to use those same kaychas that he did to jump over that river, to use it towards Torah learning. And they struggle with Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan was going to let him marry his sister, and Reish Lakish then decided that he was going to dedicate himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then the Gemara says a very interesting thing that really drives in this point. That Reish Lakish, it said, tried to jump back over the river, but he couldn't do it. He couldn't do it because he lost, he couldn't do it. He didn't have that same koyach. And we all know that there's a famous, you see a bacha when it's a mitzvah. Any bacha ever shlang in yeshiva, so then a year later he's not supposed to be as good in basketball as he was the year before. Because if he is, then he has a reis on him. So what you do is, for everyone here should have to know this, that lemaisa, every single time that they play ball, it's very important to know that obviously you don't want to be as good. I played with Moshe baseball this summer, for instance. You know, he's not going to be able to play the same left field this coming year. But lemaisa, so we understand how it would have said, the Gemara would have said, Reish Lakish went to Yilam Yeshiva. And his way back from learning from Yeshiva, when he went back home, he tried to jump, but he couldn't do it. But here, Reish Lakish did not learn Afilo Ais Achas of Dvei Torah. Reish Lakish at this point has done nothing. And yet, Nahal Pi came, he couldn't jump over the river. And it's a parallel lemaisa. What happened here? Why couldn't Reish Lakish do it? And the Bali must answer, the Bali Musa answer, Pasha, it's not Pasha. The Bali Musa answer, that Reish Lakish had the same exact everything as he did before. There was no Tayyum Machesh, there was no Tayyum Weekend, this Guf. The only thing different between Reish Lakish then and now was that Reish Lakish before prided himself by his ability to do these abnormal human feats. And Reish Lakish now is not going to pride himself on that anymore. And therefore, his Ritzonus beforehand was to do these crazy things. So he was able to do it, because then he used all his kaychas for that. And now Reish Lakish now is not going to be priding himself by that, but rather by his inyani of Ruchnias. And now his Ritzonus are going to show forth in his ability to shtat, in Reish Lakish's ability to become Reish Lakish. And therefore, you see, Ein Davar Omed B'nei Ratzon. It's mamish, this Gemara, the title of this Gemara is Ein Davar Omed B'nei Ratzon. And that's on ourselves also. And it's mamish on ourselves. that as soon as we decide, and we've decided to become B'nai Torah, and we do it in a methodical way, and we give thought to it, and we'll speak about that tonight, that's going to be the topic, about giving thought to being a B'nai Torah. As soon as a person gives real thought to becoming a B'nai Torah, it's endless. It's absolutely endless what he can accomplish. It's absolutely endless what he can accomplish. I'm talking about any single thing. Any single thing that's in a person's life that he thinks that he couldn't be without, or he could, any single area that he feels weak in. Any single area that he feels weak in. No matter what it is, it doesn't make a difference. I've said this many, many times before, that when I was a bachur in yeshiva, I don't know too many people that had as hard a time. For my personality is to be all over the place. My smother was never ever something that I mom struggled constantly. The idea to learn an hour by myself without stopping, that I was able to keep, it was just so foreign. There's no chance. And I don't know exactly when that changed. I hope it did. I'm saying, I don't know exactly when that changed. But I can tell you one thing. The one thing is that I always looked at Masmidim, which is, I always looked at him like, wow, that's amazing. Even now, when I see a Masmid, I'm like, that's incredible. And Mamash, when I went to the mirror this past year, and I specifically look at the Masmid, and I'm always very, that's where a person's discerned is, what he looks at. If a person wants something, that doesn't make a difference who he is. If a person wants something, then in the realm of Nehru, he could accomplish anything. Now, our problem might lie in a different area. We might have a problem with our tzinus. In other words, sometimes we want something, but then we also don't want it so much. That's a separate thing. But lamaise, as soon as a person has machlat in himself, then not just that he wants to be a good Jew, but he wants to do something special. He wants to learn a mesechta and know it by heart even. He wants to, whatever it is, he wants to take this area of surmara and have an expertise in it. I'm talking about even if a person wanted to take a lashon hara and say, you know something, my chilek in this world at this point, my avodah is, I'm going to work to the point where I don't speak lashon hara. Now that sounds absolutely crazy. And if a person told me that he made that Kabbalah, you know, if the Kabbalah us said that, you know something, I'm not speaking lashon hara, so we would all get together, we try to make a mishaber for the person. But Lemaisa, he's also not wrong. In other words, ain't there anything else in the pocket? There's nothing. What Shaykh says, there's nothing that stops the person from doing what he wants. So Lemaisa now is Zman El. Zman El is the Zman of Ratzon. Zman El is the Zman of Achana for Yom Adin. It's the Zman of preparation for Yom Adin. The truth of the matter is, El is not the B'myuchad is Dar. I mean, I think they've been saying it for many, many Daras. I've seen Svaram where they say they are hundreds of years old. But I assume it also gets worse with every Dar. So this El, for sure, we know is probably one of the most underused presents that a Kaddish Baruch has given us. El is the Zman Achana, and we're just not Mechan. Right? Even now, Baruch Hashem, we have an idea, we've heard before, and we are channeled to some degree that El was supposed to learn better. But how many of us have really thought about why, and learning better is also not Hachana for Yom Adin. Hachana is that there's a preparation going on here, that you're preparing for something. Avigdor Miller, I mean, I was always interested in this. Avigdor Miller, he always said, no matter, in every single thing, like, if people want, he didn't go to his own grandson's weddings, or he went for 20 minutes, and they always used to pressure him, like, well, he said, I'm preparing for Bechina. He's preparing for his eternal Bechina, for when he goes up to meet a Kaddish Baruch Hu, he did, for his Bechina. They're going to ask them where his minutes were. That's preparation. Preparation means that you're sitting there constantly thinking about how your preparation's going here. And El is the Zman Achana L'Yamadin. That means we're in a perfect atmosphere. We would be sitting now and sitting in Beis Medrash, and we'd be learning first Seder, but right after first Seder, we'd be thinking about Achana L'Yamadin. We're never so successful at that. That Hachana, that idea of preparation, we're not so successful at. And I was thinking, like, what's the reason for this? The truth of the matter is, it's probably twofold. The first thing is that we, as American Bachman, are very scared of Hachana for Yom Adin. The Yom Adin, in our mind, Rosh Hashanah, forget Yom Adin, that's altogether scary. That's just mama. Okay. But Rosh Hashanah is a very, very, it brings up feelings of absolute intensity to us. We know that every, who is not from Yid and Rosh Hashanah? Right? Who is not a mamash a yoyish shemayim in Rosh Hashanah? We have all these ideas going through our mind, and we're mamash trying to daven b'kavana, and on Yom Kippur, achas kama, we're all the climax in the Ila. I mean, we're all mamash trying to be the best we can be, to put on a good show. But to add on to that, to actually make an achana that we should be thinking about it already beforehand, like what? It's like, why do you want to cause yourself this, like, this these feelings? It's I don't want to say depressing, but it's definitely intense, and most people can't be intense for that long. You know, when I was my wife's grandmother was sick this past year, she was nifter. When I was by her deathbed in the hospital, so you think, what are you going to do when your grandmother is nebuch? I was the only one there. There was no one else there. It was just me and my wife's grandmother. My father-in-law was in the room next door. He was getting a breather. He was sleeping. I came. I drove him from Connecticut. She went into a coma. And I'm sitting there, and I quickly open my tehillim. And, you know, in my mind, I thought for some reason I was going to drive in from Connecticut. I was going to say some tehillim. You know, I didn't watch too many movies in my life. And right away, my baba was going to wake up and say, oh, you want some coffee? Right? That's... So the mice, I say one kapitel, two kapitel, three kapitel. Right at the fourth, I'm starting to lose a little, you know, a little, what? No, when I was in the hospital. Right in the fourth, I'm starting to, it's not going as well right now. By the fifth kapitel tehillim, I'm more, I was amazed at how quickly I could burn out the same tehillim for someone who's on the, and that's my Muslim grandmother. You could look at me and say that, Lamaisa, and you're right. But Lamaisa, I would have said what I was, but now I'm being tased, I'm a kid. But, and you'd be right, but the truth of the matter is that humans only have an ability to keep intensity for so long. That's the bottom line. Even Shivi Yameh Avelos, you'll see right after, Baruch Hashem, it's also Taiva, it's also has its, but it comes with its problems also, that we have a hard time doing it. So Baruch Hashem, we don't stay depressed for too long, but sometimes where you need to have a certain intensity, it's hard to recover. And you'll find yourself in Rosh Hashanah, I always know that first Shmon Esrei Ma'ariv, you've built up so much in your mind, you went to the mikveh that day, you know tonight is going to be a big night, you know tonight Mamash, we're going to be speaking about Yilok of Nei Maron in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you expect to turn on the Kavanah like it's a force and boom, it comes flying out, then nothing there. And I always, never failed me. Every single year as a bracha, I always turn on that faucet. Nothing. And I said, you know something, there's a drought here in the Kavanah land over here. And I used to get so, and the reason is because L'maisa, if there's no hachana, you can't, our hachana is the first couple of Shmon Esreis from Rosh Hashanah to be able to squeak out that there's something over there, and they would get all excited. And you should be, chas v'shalom. There are a lot of people that don't even bother, and even if they bother, it's not there, and whatever it is, it doesn't make a difference, it's not a contest. But the bottom line is, it's very, very difficult for us. So that's number one. It's the truth of the matter is we get a little nervous. Now, to that, the kud of being nervous, we'll address that in the kud also. We'll address it in two ways. A, you think it's nervous to not think about it, it's more nervous to, if you think it's nervous to think about it, it's more nervous not to think about it. I always say to myself, there is nothing, I cannot think of anything more depressing than meeting HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Meir Ve'etzim without any avodah to me, without any amelis, that I never worked for anything. Can you imagine a person throws up, I mean, there's no Gemara, he never worked in Gemara, never worked in himself, he's the same Mamash Mechemet Yetzer, even not Mechemet, he's the same person as he was then. There's so many times I have inner struggles with my Yetzer that I always say to myself, at some point in my life I'm not going to have this. The second Nakuda is, that when we're not making properly because we don't seem to have very good success, big success rate in it. We don't seem to ever, it doesn't ever really go so well, being making for Yom HaDin. For instance, we'll look at our previous, for those who had the chutzpah to actually write down their previous Kabbalahs of last year, and they look at it and they see that, you know, they didn't become disciple this past year. So it's not so geschmack to read that. So one answer is to not write it down, but it's very so it's, we're not matzniach. So Mamela, we say okay, you know, we try to stall for time, so to speak. The truth of the matter is, with these Kabbalahs, the problem with not keeping Kabbalahs is more than just the fact that you didn't keep your Kabbalahs. It's true, you didn't keep your Kabbalahs, so you weren't as good, but also it means that you picked the wrong Kabbalah. If a person, a lot of times, if a person, in other words, what's the problem of picking the wrong Kabbalah? This I was thinking about, it's an amazing thought, that if you pick the wrong Kabbalah, what is a Kabbalah? A Kabbalah is an opportunity. A Kabbalah is an opportunity to pick something, to work on it, to the point where you go next to the front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that Kabbalah, you know that you did something for HaKadosh Baruch Hu this past year, and you work on yourself to some degree. And if a person picks a Kabbalah that's mamish within his kayach to do it, and not out there, but rather something mamish biyadcha, where he has an opportunity, and he's able to have, and he does it, then he's accomplished an opportunity. To the point where if you didn't do it, and you picked a Kabbalah that's not shayach, so you just lost an opportunity to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A Kabbalah is not a contest, how nuts do you think you could be that year? A Kabbalah is not a contest, how great you're going to be. A Kabbalah is an opportunity that we are given to try to do work on ourselves a little bit to become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, if a person looks at his Kabbalahs and he sees him do it, it's not that he wasn't successful. He wasn't successful at picking his Kabbalahs. That's what he wasn't successful at. He wasn't successful at picking a good opportunity. No, my first year in Beis Medrash, so we'll speak in a second. For instance, let's say a person decides that he wants to work on Lashon Hara. Wants to work on Lashon Hara. So I'm just, it's unfortunate to hear other people's Kabbalahs, because you start thinking that, you know, maybe they're good for you. A person has to really think about himself and figure out Kabbalahs that fit for him, that are tailor-made for him. But let's say a person decides he wants to work on Lashon Hara. So then there's the Kama Kabbalah, we're going to learn Halachi Yomi, which is Kabbalah. And then other people decide that they're just going to not speak Lashon Hara. Won't speak Lashon Hara on Tuesdays, or 100 different variations of it. Now these, obviously, learning Halacha Yomi every single day is demands a tremendous consistency. That if you miss one day, unfortunately, people usually get upset and then they give it up. But let's say a person would think about himself and say to himself, but might say, how consistent of a person am I? And say to himself, you see that he needs help in consistency. So then it might be a little too much for you to accept upon yourself Halacha Yomi. So you have to think. So let's say a person would start thinking about himself and decide, you know something, let me think about how often do I speak Lashon Hara and who do I speak about? And then the person would start thinking about, you know something, this is a guy that I really speak Lashon Hara about. You know, this guy also. And he has a list of three people, let's say, where you really, really speak Lashon Hara a lot about. And he says, well, how many times would we speak about the Lashon Hara about one of these people in the list? And instead decided that, you know something, he was going to make a Kabbalah, that he was never ever going to go and speak Lashon Hara about this person. Just pick one person and say that he was never going to speak Lashon Hara about that person during the entire year. And he knows himself that at least once every 2 days he's thinking about, you know. They don't have in-laws yet. But let's say he decides that once every couple of days he has in mind that, you know, he would like to say something about this person. So that means every single 2 days he's given an opportunity to say himself, you know something, I'm just not going to talk about that person. So that means every single 2 days he's saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hashem, I'm doing something for you. So that's an example where a person takes a Kabbalah, that's an opportunity. It's an opportunity where he comes there after, he says, you know something, besides the point that he saved himself from hundreds of chatan, but he's also trying to develop himself. And then the year after, maybe then it's time for him to work on consistency. But at least a Kabbalah, again, is an opportunity. So if a person doesn't pick the right Kabbalahs, and he picks things like, and I have my share of them, I pick things that a year later I look at myself, I say, you know something, I must have been crazy. And the point is that so when we think about a Kabbalah, it's a tremendous amount of thought. It's not something that we just, you know, oh, we heard this guy did this Kabbalah, let's do that one. A Kabbalah is something that you do in Yom Kippur. It takes a tremendous entire El thinking about what Kabbalah is going to do. The Ligozma, I spent the entire El thinking about what Kabbalah I'm going to do all the time. I'm constantly crossing them out, saying I'm going to do this one, I'm going to do that one, no, I'm going to do this one. The entire El. And Rosh Hashanah and Aser Shemeshu, you're constantly going back and forth until Yom Kippur, by Ne'il, you're accepting yourself a Kabbalah that you feel is fit for you. But it's a tremendous amount of thought. Rosh Hashanah has three parts to it. Pasuk says, says, this is the day, the beginning of your creations, a remembrance of Yom Rishon, the first day. Yom Rishon is Yom Briyas Adam. That's Nekuda Alpha Rosh Hashanah, the day that Adam Rishon was born. It's the day when not just Adam Rishon was born, but the day Briyas Adam, where Adam was born anew. And therefore, Yom Briyas Adam, Rosh Hashanah has the school in it that every single person has an ability to give birth to himself again, to become a new person, to be a Briya Chadasha. These words Nevach have been overused to the point where sometimes we don't have the proper meaning in them. But Yom Briya Chadasha, that means that if you ever look, if you ever had the opportunity, you probably did in the Mitzvah Shem your life. Children, one day you'll be able to drive this in for a second a little bit better. But if you look, when I look at my wife had a baby, and I looked at the baby, I said to myself, this is a Briya Chadasha, that's what I am on Rosh Hashanah. That seems a Briya Chadasha. A person is a Briya Chadasha. He's like a baby, mamish, like the Rabbeinu Yonah says, Kekatan Shenayil Adam. He's like a kid that was just born. That's Nekuda Aleph. So therefore, Nekuda Aleph, to avoid the Rosh Hashanah, or for Rosh Hashanah, is to be building yourself one more time, to be Binyan HaAdam. The second thing that happens in Rosh Hashanah, and that's really the entire Rosh Hashanah is based on it, we'll speak about that also in Mezuz Hashem sometime, is that once HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a people, which is us, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu also has a Malchus. In Melech Balayam, if there's no people, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a Malchus. So it's also the day where the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also there's a rebirth to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus. And therefore it's also the Yom, it's besides being the Yom Binyan HaAdam, it's also the Yom Binyan HaOlam, it's the Binyan HaMalchus, it's the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's also a term that's very, very ambiguous, that we have rather a hard time trying to get a grasp on. The third thing is, of course, Rosh Hashanah is
the second thing, Yom HaMalchus.
Yom HaMalchus, the day of the Binyan HaMalchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The third thing, of course, is that Rosh Hashanah is one of the days of Aseret Yemei Teshuva. One of the days of, so therefore there's an aspect of Teshuva to it. Tonight what we're going to speak about is the Yom Binyan HaAdam. That's what we're going to speak about. We're going to speak about every single person and themselves, this El, this Rosh Hashanah, this Aseret Yemei Teshuva, trying to figure out a way to where we can do this, I mean, being Bina and Adam, try to build ourselves, build our character, build ourselves. That means more than just learning more. That means more than just giving a little bit more stuff. And to be Binyan HaAdam doesn't mean doing more. We associate every single Aliyah, we associate with just doing more. Everything. If I would ask you, I want to make a God day. I want to make a God day. That's the day where we're going to dedicate ourselves to God. So if I asked you, you would tell me that today we're going to have to learn more. You would tell me we've got to get stuck more. You would tell me we've got to do chesed more, we've got to daven more. Everything would be done. It would all be a maisa, just maximize it and do more. It's not, Binyan HaAdam has nothing to do with that. We'll see. That has nothing, we're not going to ask ourselves to do anything. It might be true also that we're going to need to do more. But that's not the nekuda of Yom Binyan HaAdam. The Gemara says that in Rosh Hashanah every single person walks in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kivnei Maron. And the Gemara has three pshat on what Kivnei Maron is. And each one of these things are Pashat Niflidik. Niflidik. It's also a limen. This Gemara is a limen on how a person should think. It says that a person should walk in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kivnei Maron. The Gemara says, what is Kivnei Maron? The first pshat is probably the one that we all know. Is Kivnei Maron means like sheep. Just like sheep walk one after one in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what we do. We walk like sheep. We judge by the HaKadosh Baruch Hu one by one. Second pshat is Kivnei Maron, Kibbeis Maron, like a thin alleyway to a house where two people can't walk together. The third pshat is like Kibbeis Maron. It's like an alleyway where two people can't walk together. So also you're by yourself. The third pshat is like the army of David HaMelech where they used to count you one by one. And all three tsiyurim, all three tsiyurim are pshatim kibnei maron in order to drive home the idea that when you walk in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah, you're by yourself. So in other words, the Avraham looked at this and they said to themselves, kibnei maron, we're going in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by ourselves. And they tried to think of ways to mechazik that thought to the point where they can understand it, to where they could picture it better, to where it could have a deeper meaning in them. That's what imagination is for. If you want to know what imagination is for, imagination is to drive home my mechazal and to drive home things that we can't understand, but we are given an imagination to be able to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu better. And therefore, when they said kibnei maron, they thought of different ways that we can understand that we are walking in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu kibnei maron. And we have said this pasuk of kibnei maron and Rosh Hashanah and kept us so many times, and we still haven't keyed into that fact of what it means to walk in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by yourself. That means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you're going for the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that means that I'm not with him. You know, everyone, we always walk in groups. We always walk in groups because we don't like to get hurt and we don't like to be by ourselves. When you're walking for the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're by yourself. And you can imagine that meeting. I may have asked a person walks in the name of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu by himself, and he has no one with him, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, tell me something. Why do you keep Shabbos? He says, what do you mean I keep Shabbos? It's a mitzvah in the Torah, I keep Shabbos. He says, no, but why do you keep Shabbos? And he says, my parents told me how to keep Shabbos, so I kept. And from that I learned, and then I kept Shabbos, and I got a little better and a little worse, but then, you know. And he said, just, you know, stop, I put on sins every day. I learned when I was a kid to put on sins every day. And everything is just, you know, there's a reason, because when he was in first grade, he stopped, he just, I got to, you know. So then Hashem Baruch Hu says, well, wait a second, what do you mean, stam? What were you thinking when you kept Shabbos? Everybody think about this past Shabbos. Everybody think about this past Shabbos. When they said Lechadodi, what was going through their mind? Besides whether they're going to dance this week in Yeshiva by Boi Vashal. What was going through your mind when they said, when you remember Kama Shabbos, what were you thinking about? We're all going to answer, myself included. I was thinking more than anyone else if they're going to dance. Myself included, when you said Lechadodi, and you said the Qur'an, what were you thinking? When you were in the Makabah Shabbos, what were you thinking? What were you thinking? We would answer. We would be the ones going about that as well and say, yeah, Kadosh, stop, Makabah Shabbos. What were you thinking when you put on sitzes this morning? Don't tell me. And don't tell me if you did either. What were you thinking? And what were you thinking what were you thinking when you put on film this morning? I think we'll end it here. We don't want to get hooked. We don't want to overdo it here. Right? But what? That's because that's what we're going to answer HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't think we're going to answer anything differently. It's not like I can say it was his fault or I have someone with me. We're going by ourselves. We can't say it was... We're going by ourselves. We are that Stam Adam. We will call ourselves Stam. Yeah, Stam. We did it Stam. That's what we are. We are the Stam Adam. We are that person. Can we name our own? We're the person that's going to go in and push and don't answer. So Yom Binyan Adam means how to make yourself not a Stam Adam. That's what it means. When Adam HaRishon was created, he was the antithesis of Stam. Everything had a purpose in this world. The world was created by Toiv Ma'od. It was created by the world was a very good place. Why not put his Bible right that it was Toiv Ma'od? Like, can you imagine, you read an essay, and at the end of the essay, you write, by the way, I have to tell you, teacher, this is one of the best I've written in a long time. And I go to his Bible, write the commission, Toiv Ma'od. Why don't you guys write that? It's a little, you know, I don't want to judge him. It's a little interesting that he writes, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants you to know that it was Tov Ma'od. He wants, the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants that self purpose. Hashem wants you to know that this world is a very, very good place. And everything has a purpose. And everything has a reason. And everything, that's, Yom Binyan HaAdam means a person who has a goal, a mission, and a purpose, and he understands what he's doing with his life. And therefore, a person who is an Adam, you can guarantee yourself that when Shabbos came, he was like the Gemara says, Ratz Likra Shabbos Malchasa. He ran to greet the Shabbos Queen. Whew. We read that Gemara, we just concentrate on the fact that he was Masalta Patalis. But that, understand that. A person was, at the Amaran, they ran to greet the Shabbos Queen. We run, we're trained runners to come to also the Shabbos. We're trained, we also run. But we're trained, we run because it's like a rote thing. We have to get to Mincha on time when we know that we can't drive a car past the stage. But we're not running to greet the Shabbos clean. Because again, we have to, that's not the way we're Mechunach. We're unfortunately, our Baruch Hashem, our parents teach us a certain amount, but we never ever mature that thought to the point where it brings something else out in us. And Rosh Hashanah is the time, and El is the Hachana, where we can prepare ourselves to actually build something more than this. And that's what we're here for. And we do it also, and sometimes we don't even realize that we're doing it. So you say, well, who says, maybe I don't need to be a Stam Adam. Maybe I don't need to be this great person. I can be, I'm a good Jew. There's nothing wrong with being a good Jew. That's better than being a bad Jew. But there's nothing wrong. We know Kol HaMakayim Nevesh Achaz B'Yisrael. Anyone who says that Yekilu Kiyim Eilem Ali, it's like he saved the entire world. That means you are the entire world. You're all Chayiv Lomer B'Shvili Nivra Eilem. That means you are the complete. That when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he created it for you. And you think you could be a Stam Adam? That means HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world for you, and you think that he created Hashem created a world with a tremendous purpose for you, and you're not going to know what that purpose is, but then there was no reason for the world. This idea of building a person like this is more than any Musa Shavuos. It's more than any. It's much great. It's much broader. It's much more chashiv. It's much greater than any Musa Shavuos you can hear, because it's including this one, because it's irrelevant to Musa Shavuos. Musa Shavuos and give a person his iris. But the Rabbeinu Yehuda already taught us in Parakel V, "Im ein ani li mili." That's a song also. I don't know how many. "Im ein ani li mili." If I am not myself, who is going to be for me? What does that mean? The Rabbeinu Yehuda says, if I'm not going to teach myself, if I'm not going to work on myself, it's not going to happen from listening to him working it myself for me. It's not going to happen when a person screams down my throat, "Taira! Tshuva!" That's not going to be. It's going to be that you hear that, you misunderstand yourself, and then you go continue with that. You continue with that. And therefore, it's a tremendous, tremendous insight that we have to take something and make it real. And I want to tell you something, there's nothing more rewarding than that either. There's nothing more rewarding than when a person takes a small prat, a small aliyah, and really works on it to the point where it's really, then he's mamash a different person. He's mamash a different, he's a different person lagamri. You ever speak to a Rav and you get an einfalt into how cheshbon he is? You're always so impressed with it. You're also, that's not so far. That's very, very close to you. That you could also be that person. It takes a push. We just have to be mechanic ourselves to not do things in rote. So I was thinking to discuss this. You see, it's Pasha, the Mesilas Yesharim is the safer. It's the Mesilas Yesharim, it's the straight path. It's the path towards to Ruach HaKadosh. It's the path towards Ruach HaKadosh. Where does he start off with? He starts off with Zahiris. Torah, maybe with Zahiris. Torah brings to Zahiris. Zahiris is the first thing. Is Zahiris in action? Zahiris is the first rung on a long ladder to hit Ruach HaKadosh, to hit the Vekas HaKadosh Ruach HaKadosh. And Zahiris has no action to it. That means if you Zahiris means to as we'll see soon in the Mesilas Yesharim, it means to be careful, to be watchful. You're not doing more, you're not learning more, acting more, running more. There's no physical activity here. You're thinking more. That's what Zahiris says. You're thinking more, because if a person asks you what the haschalah of Avodas Hashem is thinking clearly. Is thinking clearly. That is Asol. If a person wants to be a Ben Torah, he has to plan his strategies carefully. And that is the Mitzvah. If you ever jumped into something and you failed, you should know, because you jumped into it. And therefore, it's amazing when you see the Lashon in the Ramchal. He says, "He Inyan HaZahiris." I'm just going to read one small kata from it. Inyan HaZahiris, the Inyan HaZahiris, which Zahiris is a right, Zahiris, English term, watchfulness. The Indian of Zahiris is she other nizar b'maisa b'minyanav. A person has to be careful with his actions. Chloimar, then he's mafash what that means. Mizboinin u'mafakeach al maisa v'durachav. A person has to think. Mizboinin. What is the action of Zahiris? The action is to be mizboinin u'mafakeach on his maisim ha'tovim heim imloy. To think about whether they're good or not. Think about this for a second. To make sure that he shouldn't leave his nefesh chas v'shalom to destruction. Let's think about something. That means he has to think about his actions. If they're good or not. If a person speaks lashon hara on a person, the Mizrachim says a person has to think about his actions and think about whether they're good or not. That means that there's a suffix here. There's a suffix whether his action was good or not. How many times have we ever had spaken that Hatayi B'meim alone? If I speak Lashon Hara, I'm pretty sure that was a bad thing. But the Mesilas Yesharim is saying that there are many Maisim that they should derive, they should be Mesufik by you. They should be Hatayi B'meim, you should think about them. There are actions that you should be thinking about whether they're good or not. That's every single person. It's amazing how many actions we should be thinking about Hatayi B'meim alone. Vachar is a yeshiva. he's learning by his mother, and he says to himself, you know something, I feel like he's getting too intense and it's starting to hurt him and he's losing chesed, and he feels like he needs a little bit of a break. So he goes to his Rebbe and he says, Rebbe, you know, so the Rebbe of course is nervous that he's gonna, chas v'shalom, get too intense, burn out, whatever. So he says, of course, go to the gym. So in a couple of days later he feels the same thing, so he also goes and he says to himself, you know, maybe I should also go now to the gym. So now the first time, okay, but the second time is a big question. Are you really nervous about the fact that you're getting too intense, or are you just want to go to the gym right now? Or how many times are we wake up and we not feeling, but we're really feeling okay? Every single thing, all these actions are not pashut. A person has to think. How many times have we said something? A guy walks into, he hasn't been in yeshiva a couple of days ago. So you walk in and says, how are you feeling? Everything okay? So now think to yourself, why did I ask him if he's okay? Did I ask him if he's okay because I genuinely care about he's okay? And or did I ask him he's okay because I just wanted to show him that I didn't see him for a couple of days? And a lot of times you can see by the way he slaps him on the shoulder, hey, where were you over there? So I mean, I tied him in the low. You have to ask yourself, what's going on there? What's the action? And every time it's amazing. I always say, if I stop myself, every single time I have a conversation, after the conversation, if I think about it, I always see that there's at least one something that I said that I had an agenda in. And I have to ask myself, I tied him in low. Zahiris is a thought process. Zahiris is introspection. Zahiris is introspection, the ability for a person to think it himself. And say, Hatayim Mimilo, what am I doing right now? Hatayim Mimilo, and you know, sometimes a lot of things I've never, sometimes we can't think clearly. But Zahiris is that a person is constantly going through his day and checking up on himself and saying, Hatayim Mimilo, am I doing okay right now? Is what I did just now what I think I did or not? Says that he shouldn't leave it into. He said, "Davar shaseichi chayv avad." I always love this line of the Mises Hashan. He gives this powerful message when he's about leaving your nefesh into destruction, like walking like a blind man in darkness. And then he says, "That's something you say chukum yifshimim b'chayv you." I always wonder. Can you imagine a big mashkiach or something? He says this fiery shmooze, and everybody's getting all into it. And then he says, "Hold on for a second. I want to talk intellectually with you for a minute." It's like popping out the balloon. But the Ramchal knows the main anili mili. If you're not going to use your intellect, your intellect was given you for a reason. Your intellect, there's only one thing that can conquer your Yetzirah, and that's your seichel. Once your seichel, once your Yetzirah has come upon a person, he mamish needs his brains. I want to tell you something. I was driving one day, and my Yetzirah was getting to me in a certain area, and I was driving, and I remember thinking to myself like, this is crazy. I, for some reason, I decided that day to be a good person. I said to myself, you know something? Let me rework my thought process here and try to figure this out. So I was trying to go through the steps. Mama, there's God in this world. What's my purpose? I was mama trying to do it, and I couldn't think. I was so like I was already into like the gashmius of it that I punched. Couldn't you know? I was, and then I stopped. I was like, come on, Kresh Bokhul, this is unfair. Once I'm calling to you, come on, a little bit of help, something, you know? Then it comes, but Lemaisa, I realized afterwards, Lemaisa, when the Yetzer Hara is on a person, it's the only thing he's got is a seichel, plus tefillah. But it's mamish, that's what he says to the Ramchal, saying, "Behine davash haseichi chayavad." The person's got to think about it. It's a person that is a must. A person has to think. They decided in America as a Torah when I was in Bachelor that the Rabbeim were going to learn Moshe Seder in the Yeshiva. They were going to learn Moshe Seder in the Yeshiva. So I remember Rav Mendelson, big Talmud of Avi, he called us all together in the Shirum and he said, I want to let you know that the Rabbeim are going to be starting to learn Moshe in the Shirum. And I want you to know that I'm going to be learning a Sefer there, Moshe Sefer. But I don't want you to think that I'm going to be learning Moshe there. Because if you look at me, you think that that's what I'm learning Moshe, you should know that Mamash is not the way I learn Moshe. And everybody's like, you know, what does that mean? So I don't remember who the Mechutzah was that decided to ask him, so how do you learn Moshe? So he said, I've never found it successful to teach people how to learn Moshe. So we pushed them further. We said, well, can you know, how do you, when are you going to learn Moshe? What can we learn, you know? And he said, well, when you become a London, that's when you learn Moshe. So we said, well, when are we going to be a London? He said, when you learn how to learn Moshe, that's when you be a London. I remember thinking, my gosh, this is like, it was like a jigsaw puzzle. And I think a while later, I realized what it means. We say Torah maybe with these years. Torah brings to Zeus. Torah brings a person to Zeus. Torah brings this talent of a person who's able to think about himself, to figure out the nooks and crannies of a person's personality. So everybody has their own Musa Shmuz. The Chizos used to say that if you open up a message, it says this one says this pasuk and he dashed it. And he says when you have Bachram, every single person has their own pasuk. Every single person has their own pasuk that motivates them. Every single person has their own ability and their own Yetzirah, their own Yetzirah, and every single person has their own way to grow. And every single person has to search and find that way to grow. And the way a person does it is by constantly thinking about what motivates. What motivates? And therefore, where Mendelssohn meant when he said, when you become a lamb, you're going to learn more, is because like this. Everybody always starts things like, what when I learned Torah, when I start learning Yavamis, like, what does that have to do exactly with Yiddishkeit again? What? There's no Yavamis nowadays, I'm learning Yavamis, see, like, all this stuff, a lot of abstract things. What's going on there? Why is that important for me? Why don't I just, why can't, let's live in the Musa all day, everybody starts making all weird things. How is that affecting me again? We know definitely, hopefully, some of us have felt that if you learn a certain amount of time, you get a geschmack sometimes every once in a while, depends on who you are. But I've been thinking, what is it exactly? What is, how is Torah made with these years? If I ask you, how is Torah made with these years? Like, Torah brings zeros. Like, so we think zeros means that you don't do a there. So the Torah, you learn Torah, you don't do this. But exactly how does it happen? It's some sort of magical thing. To some degree, it is. But how does it happen? When a person learns Torah, when a person learns Gemara, he is learning the seichel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's learning HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intellect. Anyone who ever opened up a Gemara learns a Mishnah. A Mishnah is a very broad thing. It's very, very broad. If I told you a Mishnah, you would teach a Mishnah to a fifth grader. He has no questions. He's very, very happy. You ever teach a Mishnah to a fifth grader? You know yourself that I'm teaching this kid. He thinks he knows it. My gosh, he has no clue what's on this Mishnah. Then if you learn the Gemara, you think, okay, you learn the Gemara, but you know something. If you open up those Rishayim, watch out. And then when you open up the Achronim, right, so the Mishnah is very broad, and the Gemara it speaks about it, and defines the Mishnah better, and then the Rishayim define the Gemara better, and then the Achronim, and then the point where the emes of the Mishnah, the halakha of the Mishnah, ended up being a little chakir about this and that. Because the Mishnah is very broad, and then the Gemara makes it smaller, and then this makes it small, and the Achronim makes it small, until the point where the emes is mamish very, very little. It's a very, very small point, and everything in this world is like that. Everything in this world, the shaker is always big, and the emes is always much, much more defined. This table is shaker. This table is wood. So you think this table is the shaker. This table is really a tree. It's really much smaller than this polished stuff. It's really a tree, and the tree really is a seed. The seed that cut is broke. But everything when you get down to the essence of it, that's when you hit the emes. And every single time we learn Gemara, we are mechanech our minds to look for emes. It's a tremendous thing. Remember that the next time you open a Gemara, you're being mechanech your mind. You're teaching your seicha to look for emes. And every single time you say, yeah, I like Bikias, but I don't like Ian so much. Remember something, you're giving up a little bit on some emes there. The key is also to learn emes to go ifen. Look at a Rashi, we've discussed this many times, we'll probably discuss it again. Look at it, be very calm and look in and try to understand it to the best of your ability. But every single time you open a Gemara, you're saying you're learning HaKadosh Baruch Hu Seichel. You're learning HaKadosh Baruch Hu Seichel. That means you're learning Das Yashar. Can you imagine what that is? You're learning the ability to think clearly. You're learning the ability to think. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael a treasure. He gave Klal Yisrael the ability to think like him. He gave Klal Yisrael the ability to have Das Yashar, to have the Mesilas Yisharim. That a person should be able to think clearly. And therefore, when a person becomes a lamdan and he learns how to think unadulterated, he learns how to think without things that make him crazy, then he's able to also to see himself, to be zahir, to think into himself clearly also. And then he's able to see things about his personality and talents and different things that he has in a much, much different way. And sometimes you say, and sometimes you can see, and then you start seeing things for what they are. It happens all the time. I mean, I gave my car to the dealer today, and they give you a loaner car. So the loaner of the car they gave me today was a Toyota Corolla. Now I don't know about you, but any time I've ever seen a Toyota Corolla and a newspaper, I was always impressed with the headlights. And also, like, you see Schwarz drive a Toyota Corolla, they look like they're enjoying themselves. And in my mind, I always imagine, like, a Corolla, that must be fun. And again, it's cruel and it's a con. And I don't want to sound, I'm not saying that a Lexus wouldn't be a little bit better of a car. I'm not saying, but Lemaisa, that's a cloud of thought process. A person thinks clearly, thinks about himself and thinks about the world in a tremendously clear way. If you ever see that thing's clear way that a person says, Kivneimar, and is able to think about clearly what does it mean to walk in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ask yourself, if we did not have the muscle of walking in front of Hashem like sheep, if we would have been mechavim to it. Then on Hashem, Mashkichim come up with Hashem, or Volbi, if you learn in Ali Shah, comes up with Mashkichim that are absolutely brilliant. It's because he is mechanech haseicha al pi Hashem. And therefore he doesn't have the problems that we do. He doesn't have the TVs that we've seen, the movies that we've heard, the music, all clouding our vision. You know, let me ask you a question. If I ask you right now, I guarantee that this is true. But if I ask you right now, abortion is a major debate in politics for years and years, since 1973. Pro-choice. I guarantee you, a lot of people, you feel that it should be the woman's choice. It should be the woman's choice. It's her body. I guarantee you that tree fashkaf is also seeped into you. Think about it for a second. Do you feel yourself feeling bad for the woman and hearing her point of view? How many liberal hashkafas do we also feel a little bit and feel for them? That's because we're being machanah on ourselves in newspapers. That's the antithesis of Das HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you want to know what Das Abikar, Das Kfir is newspapers. We're being machanah on ourselves in that. And every single time we open up a Gemara, it's to defeat those newspapers. You ever see a guy, if you see a buffer walk in front of the, walking out of 7-Eleven, he's got a daily news there. You should know something, he's holding Kfira. He's holding kafira, and that vision of a person holding kafira, he's holding das, the das negara kodesh baruch hu. He's holding what? We'll talk about whether it's etzem. He's holding things that are being mechanech haseichel to think against the kodesh baruch hu. He's holding. You see the newspaper, and this guy saying this is going to happen in the war, and this guy saying this is going to happen in the war. Can you? I don't ever have a vision of what the malchus of a kodesh baruch hu looks like. Just remember this: the malchus of Hashem is that Hashem running the world, and every single yacht in this newspaper articles are telling you how Hashem is going to run this world. Ain shaka gedolim izu. It's connected to seichel of a kodesh baruch hu. Every time you open a gemara, remember that you're trying to fight the daily news. Every time you open a gemara, say I'm trying to fight the New York Times right now. It's the seichel against a kodesh baruch hu. And we, Nebuch, myself included, we have no problems opening up a newspaper, and we walk out of 7-Eleven. You know something? If a guy walked out of a movie theater and I saw him, he would be embarrassed to look at me, proud of him. I hope so. I mean, I hope not. I hope so. It depends on my day. But the mice, it wouldn't come natural to him. And if a person walks out of 7-Eleven, he walks in front of an attorney, he has no problem holding a newspaper in his hand. No problem. That's a problem because it's not a problem. He doesn't realize. He's holding something. He's holding the views that are against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zihiris is the views of Hashem. Torah is the thing that gives us the ability to think like a Kodesh Baruch Hu, the ability to work on ourselves. Binyan HaAdam means that you're learning Torah, and through that you're learning how to think, and when you think you're able to steig into yourself, and when you're steig you're able to work on yourself, and you're able to think about things that are going to make you closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is what Torah does. There's a tremendous lashon. This lashon, I should pay you all to listen to this, but I'm going to give it to you for free. The Chavos Levavos says, the Kavanas HaTorah, the Kavana of the Torah is Lahamshul HaSeichu, listen to this, Lahamshul HaSeichu, to use your intellect to rule, B'chol Taivas HaNefesh, over all your Taivas, U'tanugas HaGuf, and over all the Tanugim, the pleasures of the Guf, U'lahagbir Alein, and to win over them. Umin hayidua ki agbaras ha-taivas al-seichel, and it's known that the agbaras, the victories of the taivas over the seichel, where the taivas come upon the seichel, he roish kol achatas, that's the biggest of all sins, the deceivers called the nos, and it's the source of all bad things. Any chatam happened because our taivas went over, started ruling us. The Torah is the ability for a person seichel to fight that. Torah is the talmud yitzar. Torah teaches a person das yashav hakadosh baruch hu. Every single time we do things that are connected, that we infringe upon our Torah. Mitzvahs are an added benefit. Mitzvahs surround the person. Mitzvahs protect the person. They give a person a sense of holiness. Mitzvahs are, the mitzvahs are makadosh a person's guf. The Gemara says that tefillin, tzitzis, and mezuzahs are makadosh a person, and they surround the person. To the words, the person has tefillin, tzitzis, and mezuzahs. He's not karf the chet. And David HaMelech, when he walked to went to the mikveh, and he didn't have any of these things on him. He got upset, and he says, "Where are my mitzvahs?" And then he realized he had a bris milah, and he says he was recomforted. And what's David HaMelech doing? Why is he getting upset that he didn't have the mitzvahs? Because he wanted mitzvahs to be part of him. He wanted mitzvahs that they're innate, they're mekadeshu, they're part of your guf. And when he went in front of the bathhouse and he didn't have any mitzvahs, he said to himself, but that means mitzvahs are not connected to me. They're only outside of me, sort of. And David HaMelech realized the bris milah that they became part of him. They became part of him. Tefillin, tzitzis, the matzah is called lechem hamnusa. It's called the lechem of amuna. A person eats matzah and he keys into the mitzvah of matzah. He's working on his amuna. Torah is for a person to be mechat mezgaber seichel. It's for a person to strengthen himself. And therefore, you see like these tremendous. You see tremendous, you ever, these stories of Gedolim is what I always get, a tremendous, tremendous his iris from is just the akadekach that the Torah is mechadish person. Akadekach, the stories, I just heard these two stories. Yeah. And that's why if you see a Ben Torah, and we'll talk about this at some point in the future, if you see a Ben Torah, a person is shteit, you know he's shteit when he spoke about this, when he gets less rough. When he gets less rough, when he becomes more of a mensch, he becomes not a person that screams across the street, and he acts in a certain fine kind. That's because the Torah is refining a person. Torah means a person chips away at himself, and then before he doesn't walk around with a tank top in the street and shorts. It's not that he's doing something wrong. It's gossip. He's a person. He's not. It's more than he's not mechaber himself. He doesn't realize that he has a neshama. Guy walks in the dorm room and he doesn't wear a shirt on. No, it's not shiny. He's doing an aveira, this, that. He's just a person who the Torah hasn't gotten to yet. Torah, when a person thinks about Torah, would make, what would the Torah do? It would make a person think. What would he be thinking? He would say, "I'm standing right now in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shavisi Hashem l'neged tam, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in front of me. How am I standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu right now?" And look at himself and say, "I'm standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu like this." We run and put clothes on. That's what Torah does. And therefore, we are in yeshiva. Yeshiva is what mitzvahs are. Mitzvahs protect us. Yeshiva is a protective environment. And that there are two things said about that. Yeshiva is a protective environment, but yeshiva is also an opportunity where we have an ability to grab as much Torah and grab as much Yerushalayim as possible to work on ourselves to be bonded to this person that we want to be like. That's what yeshiva is. And therefore, it involves two things: to savor every moment. That's the first thing. To savor every moment, and you'll lose, of course. We'll always lose. We'll never be Yitzhar. We'll always have an ability to attack us, and we'll have his wins. And Mesh Hashem, we'll have ours. On a Sunday afternoon, or on a Friday morning, when it's hard to learn, you should just think. And a lot of times you won't. A lot of times you won't win. But Friday morning, that's an opportunity to work on yourself, to give yourself time to think like the Kadosh Baruch Hu. But it's also something that we have to protect, and therefore when we see things that are around us that are connected, the das of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, connected our ability, that will hurt our ability to shine, whether it's Gaisha music or newspapers or different things like that, you should work on protecting that environment. You should understand that is the environment that's the antithesis of Avyoim Briya Sa'adam. We want to develop an environment where if this cut in his nylon, where this baby is born, how can he reach HaKadosh Baruch Hu the fastest and as best as possible? And therefore, any single time we see that, we have to understand to run away from that. The environment, the friends that we want to be around, the environment that we want to be in, this table that we want to sit in the lunchroom on Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, you'll see Obi and Hussein. Where we want to be around is the young Briyasa Adam, where we can build ourselves properly. And that's something we have to savor it and we have to protect it. And then, Rosh Hashanah, little by little, one Kabbalah at a time, one year at a time, one Shemana Esri at a time, little by little, Mamash La'at, 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 will be bein an Adam that is Mamash, a Nachas to the Takarish God. But it will be also, not just a Nachas, it will also be a true person.